I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning to the Song of Solomon, the Song of Solomon chapter 2, and we'll read this wonderful portion of the Word of God. The Song of Solomon, you'll find it just after Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then the Song of Solomon chapter 2, reading at verse number 1. I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, is showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading, most own infallible and inspired word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee today in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, O God, for the word that we have just read that magnifies the name of our blessed Lord. And Father, we pray that thou would draw each one of us very near to thee. And Lord, in a day of difficulty and the day of discouragement, we pray that thou would encourage thy people. We thank thee, O God, for the study we've just heard this morning already about the work of the Holy Spirit as the divine comforter. And we pray, our Father, that thou would come and comfort all of thy children and build us up in the most holy faith. And Father, for those who know not the Lord, O God, we pray that they may make their calling and election sure and be very sure that they are right with the Lord, because, Lord, thou hast told us we know not what a day may bring forth. And so we pray that thou would speak to those who are not sure, and Lord, give them the assurance of thy salvation. And so be with us now, we pray, and bless us. Remember, Lord, the people in the congregation who are ill. We pray for thy healing touch upon them. We pray for strength for those who have to care for them. And Father, we pray that thou would touch every soul and grant that none shall go untouched by the hand of the Lord. Be with us now, we pray, and bless us, and do us good, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We just read from the Song of Solomon, but I want to preface my message today by referring you to the book of Jeremiah. You don't need to turn it up, we're not going to look at it, but I wanted to say a few things about it. And that is that Jeremiah tends to be a rather sad book. It's a difficult message that Jeremiah was given to a rebellious and a backsliding people. And in that book, like other books of that nature that are kind of discouraging, you'll find that there are gems of gospel light that shine down. And in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20 is a notable verse which says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." That's a very sad message because he's speaking there about the spring and the summer and the autumn, but then followed by the winter. So nothing but the gloom of winter lies ahead. And it's sad because the people in Jeremiah's day, they had wasted away the springtime of their lives, the summer of opportunity, and they also sinned away the autumn of their lives. And still, at the end, they were not saved. And perhaps there's someone here today, and you have had many, many opportunities of coming to Christ, and yet you still are not saved, you're still not right, and so someday it will be stated of you, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and you are not saved. Now we turn to the book of the Song of Solomon, an entirely different book, because this is a song... not of a discouragement, but rather of love. And the song of love is for Christ and his church and vice versa. It is a message of gladness and of joy, because it tells us in chapter we read that the spring has already come, the grass is green again, the flowers are in bloom once more, the birds are singing, the temperatures are rising, and the future is exciting. And I want to give you four contrasting words from this chapter, verse 11, the four words, the winter is past. And hopefully, in our case, the winter is past, because I woke up this morning with a temperature at 1 degree. And if you have flowers already planted, you better watch tonight, because the temperature is going down to zero, and that means frost, and that means death to any freshly planted flowers. So be warned that there is a problem. But the Bible here is speaking in the Song of Solomon about a springtime and telling us that the winter is past. And that's good, because at this time of year we rejoice because the snow and the ice and the frost and all that sort of stuff, that is hopefully behind us. Although I read this morning that there may be some snow up to the north tonight. So be ready for that. But you'll see something about that in just a minute. But it is the springtime, and it's a future when we are hopeful and we are rejoicing that the winter has passed. Now, I want to look especially at verses 10 through 13, where it says, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, the voice of the turtle is heard in our land, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." The first thing we need to look at is, of course, the person who is speaking. When you're studying the Bible, it's always good to make sure you know who the speaker is. Because if you don't get the speaker right, you may get the message wrong. The speaker here is referred to as my beloved. Now, the book of the Song of Solomon is not the easiest book to understand. Again, with Jeremiah, Jeremiah is not very easy. And the Song of Solomon is not very easy to understand. Some people, even those who are born-again believers, they say it is a story of natural love. And if that's the case, then it shouldn't be in the Bible at all. But it's not just a story of natural love. It is a story that is recognized by most Bible commentators as a story of love between the Lord Jesus Christ, the great bridegroom, and the church, which is the bride of the Lord. And so when it says here, "My beloved spake," the speaker is the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a message he has for every one of us today. And what glorious language the writer Solomon gives, because he refers there to the Lord as the rose of Sharon, and again the lily of the valley. And what wonderful titles you find of the Lord Jesus Christ in this book, and it's well worthy of your study, and to get a good commentary so that you can read alongside, and it'll keep you on the rails. Very good and blessed study. Now, there's a question posed in chapter 5, and it is the question that I said only a wife could answer. And the question is in chapter 5, and verse 9, "What is thy beloved?" Now, there's the beloved again, the Lord. "What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women?" So people could come to the wives of the congregation. You've been married for a number of years, and you love your husband. And they could come and say, "Well, what is your beloved? What is your husband more than another beloved, O thy fairest among women?" We used to have a little shop in Belfast when I was a boy, a little greengrocer's shop, and my father looked after it. And there's a woman who came in. She used to be work in the school where I went, and she came in, and she was being served by my dad. And while he's looking after her, her husband walked down the street, and we could see him through the window. And she said to my father, and I heard her say this here, "So there he is. He's not very much to look at, but I love him." And I thought, that's a good one. Not very much to look at, but I love him. And so the question comes here, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? Only a wife could answer that, because she may see something in him that nobody else sees. And so she's very happy with her husband. Now, the only person who can really answer about the beloved is the Church of Jesus Christ, because we have been redeemed by his precious blood. And in chapter 5, you've got a detailed answer of why the bride thinks that the husband is so wonderful. She says he is the chiefest among 10,000. And goes on to describe his head and his hair and his eyes and his cheeks and his hands and his legs and so on, and his mouth. And then she finishes, "Yea, he is altogether lovely." And so this is speaking about the Lord Jesus. There's not a flaw in the Lord Jesus. He is altogether lovely. And he is the one who is speaking here in the chapter we're looking at, chapter 2. It says there, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." And so let us listen to what he has to say today. And let us, if we can, close out the world and all its problems. And let us commune with our beloved, the Lord, who is speaking to us just now. So let's move on now to the message that he brings. And the message that he brings at the beginning is these four words, verse 11, "The winter is past." Now, there are many, many winters. I have survived 80 of them. Some of you people here even survive more than 80 winters. But we have survived all these winters, and we're here by the grace of God to today. But I'm thinking not so much of the natural winters of spring, summer, autumn, and winter. I'm thinking of other winters that you discover. You'll discover, for example, the winter of the Jewish people. And you'll find in the Old Testament that there, before the coming of the Lord Jesus and before the fulfillment of the promises of the coming of the Messiah, there was almost 400 years of prophetic silence and not a word. All the other promises were there, but in this period before the coming of the Lord, there was prophetic silence, and it was a difficult time for the children of Israel. It was the winter of their experience. In other parts of the Bible, the Lord spake over and over again. Leviticus, you have the Lord spake and spake and spake and so on. So God spake all the time. But now you come to before the coming of the Lord as the Messiah, that there was silence, and it was the winter of the Jewish people. But thank God, the Son of Righteousness, the very last chapter of the Old Testament tells us, the Son of Righteousness arose with healing in his wings. And so the Lord came, and every one of us, both Jew and Gentile, are saved by the grace of God, can thank the Lord that we who were dead in trespasses and in sins have been made alive, and the warmth of the Son of Righteousness has been upon us, and we have been blessed. But there's also the winter season of the Church of Jesus Christ, because in the Bible you'll discover that the Church was born with a glorious birth there at Pentecost, and there were thousands upon thousands of people who came to Lord Jesus. What a wonderful summer time that was of the blessing of the coming of the Church. And those early days were followed by spring, summer, harvest, and winter over and over again in various cycles. For example, down through the history of the world, there was the summer of the opportunity of preaching. But then it came to that time in history known as the Dark Ages. And how dark it was, because the Word of God was virtually neglected and the Lord was neglected. And so the Church of Christ went through a very dark period then. But that wasn't the end, because along came the power of the Lord, and the day spring of the Reformation came, and the tremendous moving of God the Holy Spirit, and followed not just by the Reformation, but by revivals one after another in different places. God moved, and it proves to us something, and that is that in the Church of Christ, there is an ebbing and a flowing. There were times in the Bible where there was the flow tide of blessing, and we long for those times, the flow tide of blessing. But then there is the ebb tide, when it is not the same, and we grieve and we mourn, and we're looking for something to change. But thank God that there's a principle, and that is that the ebb tide is always followed by the flow tide. And I wonder, would it be true to say that in the Church, and I'm talking about the Church in its entirety, the born-again believers of whatever denomination they are, those who are saved by the grace of God, would it be true to say that the Church is once more in the winter mode and not seeing the blessing? Like I remember my own life in the early part of my ministry, we used to see people coming to the Lord all the time. Every service virtually, you preached the word and souls were coming to Christ. But nowadays, it's only here and there. Do you hear about someone who's come and committed their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to pray, Lord, bring it to the day when thou canst say to us that the harvest is, the winter is past. But then not only do you have the winter of the Jewish people and the winter of the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole, but you also have the winter of the local congregation. Our congregation was formed initially in 1968 called a Bible Presbyterian Church. Then, of course, in 1976, we became the Free Presbyterian Church, and we're coming up now to our 40th anniversary. On the 17th of September, in the will of the Lord, we will celebrate the 40th anniversary of this congregation and this work. Now, the early days of our work were difficult. It was a winter time. There was cold. There was ice. It was cold and difficult. And those early formative years were difficult indeed. But this congregation has gone through in the history, its history, the springtime and the summertime and the autumn time and the winter seasons, one after another. And the Lord has told us in the Word that in the natural world there will be the springtime and the harvest. And in the Christian church and the Christian congregation, you will have just the same thing. I remember way back in 1979, March 79, that's when we had just moved into our Wharton Avenue church at that time. Remember, and these are the actual words that I have said to the people, friends, there are unmistakable signs of spring in the air. And today, in the natural, there are unmistakable signs of spring in the air because we have the grass green again, the leaves coming out, the flowers begin to bloom, and so on. The snow and the ice is gone. And there are, in the natural, unmistakable signs of spring in the air. And I said that back in 1979, and so it turned out to be. And we need to pray that the Lord would give us that knowledge again of unmistakable signs of spring in the air. But not only do you have the winter of the Jewish people, the winter of the Christian church as a whole, the winter of the individual congregation, but you've got the winter of the Christian, because all of us, we tend to go through seasons, sometimes springtime, going well, summertime, opportunity, and the fall time, reaping a harvest. But all of us go through the winter times as well. And these are difficult times when we have these seasonable moods. Now, we do have them because Paul told young Timothy to be instant in season and out of season. And the very fact he said that tells us that Christians sometimes are in good shape and going on well with the Lord, but at other times, other seasons, when they're not doing nearly so well. And so all of us, we alternate between the mountaintop experience and going through the valley. And sometimes we as believers, we feel cold, we feel lifeless, we feel depressed, we feel discouraged. And that's a natural thing for every believer. There are times we go through that, and as we're saying in the Bible class this morning, the Lord allows us to go through these times so that He can show us that He alone can bring us out, because sometimes we think that we can correct things ourselves. We can't. It's only the Lord and the indwelling Spirit who can bring us out of those times. Now, in the natural sense, we don't give up looking for spring in the natural. We go out in the winter time, and you see white everywhere you go, up and you see the fields covered in ice and snow, and you wonder, will they ever recover after the ice and the snow and the cold that we have seen? But you don't give up, because you know that eventually that spring will come, and you wait patiently. Now, the young people, they don't wait so patiently because they're so busy skiing and so on. But these older people, we are just saying, Lord, bring us the spring and take away this snow. And the good thing is that the Lord, He does do that. So we don't give up on the fact that sometimes we go through a winter period of our lives. We must not give up. We must hold on, because remember, Peter tells us that we are kept by the power of God. And so the Lord is with us day by day. And no matter how dark things may be, no matter how down you may feel, the Lord will work it out, because He is a sovereign God. And remember, this is not His church. This is not our church. This is His church. And he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we're kept by the power of the living God. And when you go through a cold period in your life, don't give up, but look up and rejoice that the Lord will someday say to you that the winter is past and spring comes, and followed by the summer and by autumn. Now let me just mention here the call that the Lord gives. What he said to the bride was there, that rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. So this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking to his people. He's speaking to his blood-washed children. He's speaking to his church, and he says, rise up. Not lying down, but rise up, my love. He refers to her as his love and his fair one, and come away. So he is speaking, and we are to listen to his voice. Now, we can't make spring come in the natural. In the dead of winter, and you're going through those icy days with a chill factor of minus 40, you can't just say, bring the spring on, because we can't do it. But the Lord can do that. And likewise, when we're going through the cold winter period of our lives, we are unable to correct things, but the Lord's able to do it. And he is the one who's telling us to come and follow after him, and then he will say that the winter is past. Now, there are some things that we can learn about it, and that is that not only are we to listen to his voice, he's speaking to us, but we need to look for the signs. In the dead of winter, you look out and all you can see is cold and ice and not very pleasant to look at. But I always look for the early signs. And one of the signs that I have always looked for is the appearance of the first robin. Now, I can go through my diaries and I can tell you the first robin I've seen down through the different years. This year was amazing because there's something wrong with this year, because I looked out one day in January and not one robin, but five of them in the boulevard just outside our house. Five of them, five robins. But when you see them, you know that's good, because they know something that we don't know, that the spring is coming, and they're coming up as harbingers of the spring. And so it's wonderful to see that. And as I said, this year is different because for some reason the forsythia is not flowering. You look every year and you see forsythia all over the place at this time of year. It's not flowering. It's going straight from winter to the leaves. No flowers. You check and you'll see that. But the Lord's working things out according to his will. And I guess the people would say it was global warming. But in the dead of winter, I don't see much about global warming. I think it's very, very cold. But you look for the signs that winter is ending. Now, a robin's only a very small thing. You look at the immense size of Canada, covered by snow, and little robin is so small. But my friends, we need to look at the small signs that the Lord has given us. Maybe a word from him. Maybe a verse of scripture that speaks to your heart. A feeling that the Lord has brought to your heart. The Lord speaks, and we must watch those signs and obey those signs, because after all, we are to expect that God is going to move, because he is sovereign and he's working all things according to the counsel of his own will. Then there's some things we can learn, and that is to get into the sunshine. That in our garden at home, our front garden, covered in snow, and then along comes a day with thaws and the snow goes away, but there's one place just outside our front door, about a foot square. And that place is the last place to melt. I don't know why it's that, but every time I've noticed it, it does not melt until later. So it takes a while. Get into the sunshine. The part of the problem is it's sheltered by the tree that's in the front there, and it can't get the sunshine. Get into the sunshine, and snow and ice cannot live in the sunshine. Now, there's a wonderful thing in Psalm 147. The Psalm 147 tells us that the Lord gives snow like wool and hoarfrost like ashes. The next time you're saying nasty things about the snow and the ice, remember it's the Lord sent it. And he says that he giveth snow like wool and hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? The Bible tells us that. But then, this word here, he sendeth out his word and melteth them. And so, in due time, the Lord sends a signal and the snow begins to melt. And likewise, in our lives, the Lord sends out his word and he melts our hearts that can be so hard and so icy and so cold. So what do? You get to the sunny side of the street and you walk under the rays of the Son of Righteousness who hath arisen with healing in his wings. Are we walking there under the rays of the Son of Righteousness? But not only that, when the winter is past, you have to clean up the garden of your life. This is the time when people go out and you see them raking there, and you see them pulling up the bits of weeds and stuff and tidying up the garden. And likewise, it's a time for us to tidy up our lives and to pray, Lord, help me to have a garden that will bring honor and glory to thy name. Proverbs speaks about the vineyard of the slothful. That's no good. And slothful Christians have vineyards that are not bringing forth fruit. The Lord wants us to bring forth fruit, and so therefore we need, when you're raking the leaves in the garden, you do that to get the air to the grass so the grass can grow better. And so you have to do that. In our lives, we have to tidy up their lives and get rid of the trash and the things of the past days that are not good. Get rid of them and allow the air of heaven to come in. And then also, what we have to do when the winter is over, we have to get rid of the dead wood. Go around the garden, get up the bits of dead wood and so on, because they hinder the growth. And you'll find the gardener. You know, some people don't like gardening, and I do. My wife and I, we do like gardening, and it's a business, but it's good and it's very productive. As a matter of fact, I was in with the doctor this week in a regular appointment, and he was telling me that what you need to make sure is that you get lots of exercise. So I told him, I says, well, that my wife and I, we do quite a bit of gardening. I've been mowing the lawn and digging up the flower beds and getting ready to plant the plants and so on. He says, that's good. That's good. And he says, especially it's good for your mind. And I thought, that's good. I never expected him to say that, the doctor, that gardening is good for your mind. And my wife's father, he was a great gardener, and he worked in a psychiatric hospital, so he met lots of people with lots of problems. And he used to say, I garden because it keeps me from going mad. So he would agree to what the doctor said. But people say that I don't really like gardening. I pity you, because the Bible tells us that that was the environment the Lord placed our first parents in, a garden. And again, that in the garden, as the song says, there's no place where God is nearer on earth than in a garden. And the Lord wants us to have a garden, not a vineyard of the slothful, but a garden that is bringing forth abundantly to the glory of the Lord. And so we have to get rid of the dead wood and apply all the spiritual energy to flower and fruit production. And that means we need to have a discipline in our lives. A disciple, the word disciple comes from discipline. A discipline to read our Bible, a discipline to meditate upon it, a discipline to pray in the Word of God. And the Bible tells us here in this chapter that when the winter is past, the flowers appear on the earth. And that's the beauty of the Lord Jesus. May the Lord be seen, the beauty of Christ be seen in us. Psalm 90 tells us, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Speaks of the rose of Sharon. It speaks of the lily of the valley. And we need to pray, Lord, let the fruit of the Spirit be seen in my life, so when I go out, that people will know there's a man, there's a woman who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But there's also the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it says there in verse 12, the flowers appear on the earth, that's the beauty, the time of the singing of birds is come. Now, we miss something badly here in this part of the world because we have so much traffic noise. But one of the sweetest sounds that you'll ever hear is to get up on a spring morning and in the quietness listen to the birds singing. You hear them singing early in the morning. We call it the dawn chorus. And I've been in a place where there's absolute silence with regard to extraneous noises from society at large. Absolute silence. But the birds, thousands of them singing, what a beautiful sound it is to hear the singing of the birds. And how beautiful it is when the song of the Lord comes forth. Now, we didn't do too good today because of a couple of tunes that we didn't know too well. But let's not lose the song of the Lord, and may the time of the singing of the birds come, that when we sing our hymns, that we'll be looking at them closely, not just perfunctorily singing, but rather looking at them closely and studying them and praising the Lord our God. And it's also the peace of Christ is spoken about here, because it says the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Now, that's not a turtle that has four legs and a hard shell and all that sort of stuff. It's a turtle dove. That's the word for turtle dove. And we have some mourning doves in our back garden, not turtle doves, but they're very similar. And it's so nice to hear them just quietly cooing. And it speaks of peace. The turtle is the mark of an emblem of peace. And for the believer, according to Paul in Ephesians or Philippians, we have peace with God. And we have the peace of God. And what a blessing that is to have the peace of God in our lives. And then in closing, we are to follow the Lord. That's what he said to the bridegroom, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And he says at the beginning of that little section, he says at the end of that little section, and he wants us to follow him, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he tells us, no man cometh unto the Father but by him. I think I shared with you before, I was driving round the Scarborough Town Centre a little while ago, came to a stoplight, had a stop, and a car pulled alongside, and I was aware of the driver waving at me out of the corner of my eye. And you don't really want to get too much involved with people who are doing that, don't know what they're up to, but I couldn't neglect it, so I wound my window down, he wound his down, and I don't know what he was going to tell me. And he said, can you tell me how to get to the 401? And I said, well, that's simple. I just said two words, follow me, because I was going to the 401 and going home. And so he followed me, and back onto the 401 he went, and on he went to wherever he was going. And that's the Lord is saying, just follow me, because I know the way. I know the way to heaven. I am the way to heaven. And friend, if you're here this morning and you still haven't come to Lord Jesus, my friend, do it now when you have time, because you know not what a day may bring forth, and then it'll be too late. So the word of the Lord is, arise and come away and follow me. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the wonderful blessing of knowing that even though we go through winter seasons in life, and even our spiritual life, O God, the day comes when thou dost say, the winter is past, and the time of the singing of the birds has come. Our Father, we pray that thou be pleased to bless us with individual quickening and revival. Bless us, Lord, with congregational revival. Bless us, Lord, in the wider sphere. We think of our missionaries in different parts of the world. O God, bless them. And may we all join together in a happy song that the winter is past, and send us, Lord, a breath of revival. We ask you, Lord, now to take us safely home, to make our homes to be a blessing. Father, we pray that thou would unite our homes around the cross of the Lord Jesus, so that on that day when thou dost call us home, that none of our family members will be missing. May they be there. So, Father, bless us now, we pray, and part us in thy fear and with thy blessing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.